Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You're with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. This is the Wild Card Saturday preview episode. The Seahawks travel to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. It's at 5:15 on Fox. It's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a competitive game. And you know, we can't wait to talk about it. But before we do that, we'll do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast and do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. Spike is a writer with The Stranger. And we have to stop the presses because Bobby Wagner and Michael Dixon were both named first team All-Pro by AP. This is both unexpected and expected. I am super happy for both of them. Both very, very deserving players to be named on that list.
Yeah, it's impossible to argue with Wagner. And I hate doing this. Wow, I can't believe I'm going to do this. Oh my God, I'm betraying my heart. Literally the last week of the season against Arizona probably should have cost Michael Dixon All-Pro. Like, that's messed up to say. I hate saying it.
Ugh. Oh my God. You talked about a hot take you were going to drop, but I didn't think it would be that one.
Yeah, I know. It's messed up. Oh no, wait. He's second team All-Pro.
Okay,
never mind. Wait, he's not on it at all. What's happening?
Okay,
oh, so I'm looking at last year's. Guys, we're in 2019 right now. Wow, that was some good live podcast action. Okay, my hot take still stands. Michael Dixon's last game against Arizona was literally bad enough to push him to second team. But I love it. Hey, who might argue? Michael Dixon's a hero, and I have to commit seppuku now that I've betrayed him live on the podcast.
Well, here's the thing. I think Michael Dixon was just so clearly dominant throughout the first 16 games, or the first 15 games of the year, that they were like, all right, well, that's clearly the outlier. We can't disrespect such a prodigy, such generational talent, and cost him the honor that he deserves off of one game. So that's where I stand on the Michael Dixon first team All-Pro list. But we're here to talk about a football game.
Oh, and also I love that we just glossed over Bobby Wagner, because like obviously Bobby Wagner's best linebacker. Not even close. I mean, Kuechly's like close-ish, maybe, but not really. Like, it's just Bobby Wagner's world, and we're all living. He missed one tackle this year, and I was like, when? I don't remember that.
I think it might have been early in the year when the whole team.
It wasn't, because he had missed 0 through 10 games. So it must have been against San Francisco. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, I got questions. Okay, I don't think Bobby Wagner. I'm a Bobby Wagner didn't miss a tackle truther, and I just want to lay that out before we get into the playoff preview. Bobby Wagner didn't miss a tackle. Prove me wrong.
I don't know. When you have to go up against such generational talent in Jeff Wilson of the 49ers, it's easy to miss tackles. Anyways, we're here to talk about the football game. Bobby Wagner is great, of course, and I'm sure we're going to talk about him throughout the show. But the Seahawks take on the Dallas team for the second time this year. The Seahawks won the first matchup between the team. I think, you know, a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but I at least, you know, forgot or looked over some plays that could have swung that game, like Ezekiel Elliott stepping out of bounds before catching an eventual touchdown. Randy Gregory's personal foul penalty that gifted the Seahawks a couple points, or 3 points to be exact. And so, you know, I think this game was a lot closer than a lot of people remember. We were sweating out that whole fourth quarter. The Cowboys were kind of driving, and the Seahawks eventually won that game. And the score, I don't think, indicated how close that game really was, at least down to the wire.
Yeah, absolutely. Through the first three quarters, that was a really tight game, and it could have gone the other way. The Seahawks really did outplay them down the stretch, which speaks to just how good the Seahawks have been in the fourth quarter all year. With like the exception, with very, very few exceptions this year, the team has closed really well, and Dallas was a great example of that. And I think, again, like a big question right now is like, how much credit does Schottenheimer get for the quality of this offense or things like that? And the Dallas game was the first game where the running game really got established. Now we sort of know that it's the first game we didn't play against a great defensive line. But I think there's something to it. Isn't just body blows that are being established. It is the nonsense run paths rhythm is opening up these sort of explosive passing plays late. And we had one to Tyler Lockett in that game. And those late explosive passing plays when we should be, you know, maybe trying to milk the clock or whatever, but instead we just blow teams up. Those have been really fun. Those have been what have made this season. I think they've defined this season. And that was the first one of those. And those are, I think, by design in this offense at this point. Like, I that might be giving too much credit to be like the run pass is setting up the big explosive second down pass in the fourth quarter, but we've seen it so much this year, and Lockett has been so effective on those balls. Obviously, perfect passer rating while targeting him this year, the best in the history of the NFL on deep balls. I mean, there's something there, and that Cowboys game was the first indication that there was something there.
Yeah, and it's kind of been a welcome development seeing throughout the year Brian Schottenheimer looking to break the other team's back in the fourth quarter of the game.
Yeah,
he's going for the kill, and that's something that maybe he lacked earlier in his coaching career, that willingness to kind of stray from what's working in the game or the game plan in itself. And so maybe it is game plan, these, you know, kill shots and you know, these risky deep ball passes. But when you got a guy like Russell Wilson who, you know, leads the NFL in those type of throws, and I think it's degree of difficulty, and a quarterback that excels making those kind of throws, it allows you to kind of stray from what's working, what's really normal protocol in the fourth quarter when you have the lead. And so when you see the Seahawks run the ball, even when they're down in the fourth quarter. And it's kind of the opposite when they have the lead. They just, you know, kind of go for the neck and see if they can finish out the game, which is not only, you know, different for Brian Schottenheimer, but different for Pete Carroll. You know, we see Pete all the time play for three and kind of go conservative when, you know, the game's on the line and the Seahawks have the lead. And I think it's something that needs to continue against Dallas this time around. Both teams love to run the ball. Both teams have this bend but don't break defense. And so, you know, what they have to do is kind of break that Dallas defense, go for the kill when they see the opportunity. You have a quarterback who can make these difficult throws, and they need to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and by the numbers, the Cowboys cornerbacks are probably the weakest part of their defense. Byron Jones is obviously really, really good, and they line him up sometimes in man coverage, but he's also the safety. I mean, he's just a crazy chess piece for them. But just in terms of like targeting those red line throws, which are those throws sort of within a yard or two of the sideline, we've seen how effective Wilson is throwing those, especially in the Chiefs game where we saw him hit on just a ton of them to both Baldwin and Lockett. Those will be there against the Cowboys, which is good. I mean, this matchup, we were sweating that game. But we took control of that game in the second quarter. Like, the score wasn't as close as the performance was. And again, we didn't turn the ball over. These were obviously very different teams. Earl Thomas was our second leading tackler. Sean Lee was their leading tackler. You know, like, it's a different world now. But, man, there's a lot to like in looking back at that matchup and looking ahead to this one. And then another, you know, can't say enough about Chris Carson, and as well as the Cowboys stats portray them to be, they're not great defending the run. We talked to Marcus Mosier of Locked On Cowboys. He talked about how their run defense isn't quite what the stats make it seem like. That game against the Colts for them where they just got bossed up front with big dudes, basically Quentin Nelson and the big dudes up front for the Colts bossed the Cowboys run defenders. Like, we've got DJ Fluker coming back. He's full go. That bodes really well for Chris Carson, who is playing the best football of his career. He was NFC's offensive player of the month, period, for December. He's playing the best football in the league right now at the position at running back. So there's a lot of reasons to think that we're going to be able to do what we want on offense in this game, which is exciting because that Cowboys defense is hyped, but they're hyped in ways that, like, man, they're really good at sniffing out screen passes because they got fast linebackers. We don't run those. Like, it doesn't matter. So, you know, I don't know. I'm feeling optimistic all of a sudden. We should probably take a break. Do we have to take a break, Grant? Did I just ramble on to the point where we have to take a break?
Well, I think you left us on a strong enough note to take a break.
Okay, thank God. Thank God.
I'll give you the credit for that. So stay tuned for more of this preview episode, Seahawks versus Cowboys, Saturday night on Fox 5:15. Locked On Seahawks, you're listening to right now on the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned. And we are back with the next portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And, you know, we've been talking about the matchup between the Cowboys and Seahawks earlier in the year. But looking at this game now, I'd say the Cowboys are a little healthier defensively than they were. They have everyone on the defensive line playing except David Irving. A couple guys that, you know, really don't get the love that they should. Antoine Woods has been really good for them this year. Obviously, DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory have, you know, made their mark on the season. And, you know, that's what matters to me. I think that's been a reoccurring theme for me throughout this whole last stretch of the season. It's, you know, how the game is played up front. Obviously, the Seahawks are going to, you know, try to dominate the game through the running game, but, you know, how they pass protect on third down is so crucial in this game. I think, you know, the Cardinals sacked Russell Wilson 6 times on third down, and so being able to move the ball when it's you know, getting to that third down and even fourth down, because, you know, I think this is going to be a game where fourth down matters. When the Seahawks are, you know, in Cowboys territory or very near Cowboys territory, it's going to be a close game. Every yard matters, and so they can't afford to, you know, lose 7, 8, 9, or even 9-plus yards having Russell Wilson take a sack on third down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see how well the offensive line plays at what we expect will be 80%. Again, Sweezy's question mark. Even if he plays, he might not be 100%. So the question of what 80% of this offensive line is, it's sort of what we saw against Kansas City, though obviously what that 80% was sort of flipped midway through. Kansas City has a really good interior pass rush. We held up okay against them. When we got down to 40% of our offensive line against Arizona, it was a heartbreaker, and we just were, as you said, a nightmare on third down. So I'm optimistic just because, I mean, Dwayne Brown was dealing with a little bit of a knee injury in practice this week, but he's going to be full go. Jermaine Ifedi, full go again after dealing with some injuries. I mean, it just feels like right now the Seahawks have just enough dudes healthy to make a run. Like, we're going to have to get lucky to a degree. We're not the most talented team in the NFL. We're not the healthiest team in the NFL. But if this group of guys on the field that we're running out this week, if they can stay healthy, if Sweezy can get healthy, and we can sort of maximize in this matchup against Dallas that's pretty favorable, all things considered, this team can make a run. There are the pieces there for this system to go the way we want it to go, for this team to play to its philosophy. And that's really exciting. And I don't know, man. Like, the more I look at this, the more I'm like, the Rams were tailing at the end of the year. Like, the Bears have Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. The Saints look good, but then, like, the Saints got blown out in the last week. I mean, obviously they benched Drew Brees, but I don't know. Like, I'm getting too optimistic, Grant. I think we can make a run.
Well, you forgot to mention that they have a healthy Schottenheimer, too. And that's critical in any postseason run. But no, I kind of agreed. I agreed probably most with the Rams in that the Seahawks already played them close, and the quality that the Rams were playing was probably a little worse than, you know, obviously the regular season. They were out without Todd Gurley, but C.J. Anderson was rushing the ball just as well as Todd Gurley, and so that kind of makes you scratch your head. And then, you know, a team like the Saints, I don't know, like, I'd be worried going into that game, but at the same time, the Seahawks, I don't know, man. I have a hard time getting past the Saints, but, you know, I still think there's reason to believe that the Seahawks can do it. We've seen them put up points with some of the best teams in the NFL, so it's like, they can make that a game, and if that's a game, Russell Wilson can win that for the Seahawks, and so I agree. I think the Seahawks can make a run. I'm kind of, you know, cautiously optimistic about this Seahawks team making a deep run to the postseason, but you know, I'm kind of focused. I think the Seahawks get past the Cowboys, and then from there, I can speculate a little more about the potential of this team's run.
Yeah. Obviously, I looked way too far ahead. And I think we should talk just briefly about what this Cowboys offense looks like right now, which is good. Like, they look good. Dak Prescott looks way better since Amari Cooper's been around. Even when Amari Cooper hasn't put up huge numbers, which when he first got to Dallas, he had, like, one slow week, and then he just went off for a couple weeks. I have him in fantasy, so I noticed that these last few weeks haven't been the same for him.
No.
That said, he just does attract attention. You know, Ezekiel Elliott was the leading rusher in the league this year. He was able to be rested in week 17, so he's going to probably be at full speed, or which is scary because he's an incredible runner. He's not, you know, they've been getting production out of the tight end position from some guy's name I can't pronounce who went off for a bunch of touchdowns
last
week.
Blake Jarwin?
Blake Jarwin, yep, against the Giants. I mean, like, their offense is good. Again, we talked about this with Mosier, that both of these offenses are better than both of these defenses, even though historically the Seahawks defense has the reputation that it has, and this year Dallas's defense has the reputation that it has. I think both of these offenses are actually well positioned to go off a little bit this week.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, it's on the one end of the spectrum or the other. Like, it's a low scoring game where, you know, the teams are going to put up some points, and both teams are playing well enough and putting up enough points to where, you know, I think that could be expected going into this game. You have Chris Carson rushing the ball as well as anybody going into this game. Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott, you just said, is one of the best runners in the league. And then the Seahawks wide receivers, I feel like, have been underrated this year. Part of, you know, the reason why Russell Wilson's been so great at these deep ball, difficult passes is because of their receivers making a great play on the ball as well. And so, yeah, I think probably this game goes into the high 20s, maybe even 30s. And so, I don't know, man. I think in a game like that, the Seahawks can win. And that's weird for me to say, given how Pete Carroll teams have played against teams that put up, you know, what, 30-plus points. And so I think the Seahawks have that edge. I think they've shown the capability this year to keep up pace with other teams in scoring the ball, but not only keep up pace, but set the tone in doing that. So I think if that game gets into, you know, the 30-point range, the Seahawks have the upper hand.
Yeah, I totally agree. The only thing I think is going to keep, weirdly, the thing that's going to keep the ceiling on the final score, I think I picked this game in the 30s earlier this week. The thing that's going to keep the ceiling on the final score is that both these teams run the ball really well, and I think it's just going to limit the number of possessions. But I think this is going to be a little high scoring. Should we take another quick break, Grant? I think we should take a quick break.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Have our final predictions in this game and see if the Seahawks are going to move on to the divisional round in the NFC playoffs. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman.
Grant, can I tell you my biggest regret from this episode so far?
What's up?
I should have gone full Stephen A. Smith when I blanked on Blake Jarwin's name. I should have just said it was Jason Witten and fully committed to it.
Oh, my gosh. You should have been like, oh, yeah, Anthony Fasano has just went off against the Giants last in week 17.
Man, Dak is playing great, but I think they got to think about bringing in Quincy Carter to play a little bit at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Julius Jones has been running the ball really well for the Dallas Cowboys in their late season run, and I think he can continue that against the Seahawks.
The wide receiver pairing of Amari Cooper and Michael Irvin, unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Yeah. And then when you got guys like Deion Sanders in the secondary and, you know, other guys, you know, such as Ken Hamlin in the defensive
sure.
backfield.
Well, I mean, they got Tom Landry coaching, so you know they're good.
Right, and I no, you hear
right,
rumors
right,
about Jimmy Johnson coaching. Okay, no, we've done enough. But no, I was gonna say, Spike, the Seahawks are in the playoffs.
Yeah, Seahawks are in the playoffs.
The Seahawks are in the playoffs. They have a chance to move on to the next round of the playoffs. If they beat the Dallas Cowboys this Saturday at 5:15 on Fox, and I'm gonna pick the Seahawks in this game. I think they move on to the next round. I think they move on to play either the Saints or the Rams, and I'm gonna stick with the lower scoring prediction. I that's what my gut tells me. Obviously, I said this game has the capability of getting into that, 30-point range, but I think I'm gonna stick with the 22-20 prediction. I'm gonna lock it in. Final answer: 22-20.
I just keep looking at this matchup and I'm like, this could be dumb. I mean, again, like a single injury right now really derails us. But look, KJ's back, Tedrick's back, so we're not screwed at safety, even though Delano Hill is out for the year after playing his first really great game as a Seahawk. Shaq Griffin is gonna be full go. Our corners are there. Safety's McDougal's back. Bobby's playing at a high level. Reed and Clark. I'm just like, I think the Seahawks are going to win this game handily. Like, that's where I keep going is I'm like, I look at this matchup and I'm like, man, the Seahawks are a better team on paper. They have advantages all over the field on offense. They're not like outclassed on the other side. I think 31 to 20 is where I'm picking this.
Wow.
Like, yeah, I again, like as the week has gone on, look, anything could happen. And part of what that assumes is that over the course of the season, the Seahawks were incredible in terms of turnover margin. The Cowboys were not. The Seahawks were, with the exception of the Arizona game, pretty solid on special teams. The Cowboys were not. So those trends need to continue in this game or at least not go the other way on us. But I think if they do, I think the Seahawks just have more. And like going on the road, that home field advantage in Dallas isn't the best. It's not super meaningful because it's not a loud stadium. Pete Carroll was talking smack about the nightclub that they have in the tunnel. Like, I just think it's a prime time game. I think we're going to hear sad Troy Aikman complain. I mean, penalties have been a real bonus for the Seahawks this year. Playing on the road in Dallas is scary. Just like we
With
can get
Walt
some.
Anderson, who has a habit of calling a lot of penalties on the Seahawks. Ben Baldwin was tweeting about that the other day, and so that was kind of an area of concern for me. It's not a huge deal, but if penalties are a problem, that can definitely sway things in Dallas's
But that
favor.
could go both ways. Like, here's the thing is like, yeah, historically the Seahawks have been really penalty prone. We have a totally different group of guys out there, which like the reason we are historically penalty prone is like the way Richard Sherman plays defense looks like he penalizes, like looks like he commits more penalties than he does. This year Tyler Lockett has been excellent at drawing flags. Like, why wouldn't that continue? Why wouldn't a flag happy ref benefit us if Tyler Lockett is the one who's really good at drawing flags in 2018? Now it's 2019. I don't know. Again, I could be really wrong on this, but I just feel, and I look, it, if we do win this and we play the Rams or the Saints, I'm not going to pick an 11-point win for the Seahawks. I just like this matchup. I don't know. I don't know, man.
All
All right.
right, and so I'm gonna bring up Walt Anderson's averages against the Seahawks, not against the Seahawks, but officiating Seahawks games. He's officiated 4 games in the last 4 years. The Seahawks have an average of 9 penalties for 91.5 yards, and the opponent the opponent has an average of 4.5 penalties per game and 32 yards. Now, like you said, it's a different Seahawks team. Kind of different way they play defensive football, at least. And so maybe that can change. The last 2 games Walt
I'm
Anderson
looking.
has officiated have been plus 100-yard penalties for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the games that he officiated. I mean, like, like he officiated the Detroit Seattle game this year. Didn't we out penalize them by a, didn't we get way fewer penalties than they did in that game?
They had 7 penalties for 111 yards. The
Yeah.
Lions had 4 penalties for 32.
This is what I'm saying. I didn't even know the numbers, and I was okay. Again, I'm getting too optimistic. I'm knocking on every piece of wood in my house. Don't worry. But right? Like there's I don't think I'm wrong. I think it's okay. Guys, I think it's okay. We could lose this game. Anything could happen, But I think that there's a reason to be pretty optimistic about the Seahawks. If you're on my bookie, you know, maybe take the money line. The money line's plus 110. I think that the Seahawks should be favored in this game. They are not. I don't know, man. I'm not doing it, but you should.
All right. Well, I don't know. I think that's a strong enough point to close the show on. We appreciate you guys listening all throughout the regular season, and you know, hopefully throughout this potential Seahawks postseason run. So, you know, stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks. We will have shows for you throughout this postseason, talking about the Seahawks. Obviously, if things go opposite of the way we want it to go, the shows will be a little less frequent. But, you know, I think there's reason to be optimistic that we'll be watching more Seahawks football, which means you'll be listening to more Locked On Seahawks.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So go ahead, follow us on Twitter, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll go ahead and read all the podcast reviews next week. So if you have any questions or if you have a review you want to leave, go ahead, throw it in there, and it'll appear on the show. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I am Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.